see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
It was funny because, of course, I asked all them, like, did you talk about politics? Did you talk about international affairs? And Ashley was like, everybody was saying, like, we know Americans are nice no matter what's going on. We all want to move to America. And Benoit was like, yeah, everyone was saying we think we're going to move to Canada.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. And so, as quickly as it arrived, it has left us. Bachelor Winter Games. We saw it off last night. And I really feel like it was not long enough for this world.
No, I am so here for Winter Games. And joining us today to get into all of the beautiful love stories, the athletic failures.
The 5 hours of
the compulsory television is freelance writer who has recapped The Bachelor for Glamour, Megan Angelo.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We have way too much to cover to hit everything, so we're just going to talk about the important points. Did this show work? Like, is this what they wanted to accomplish? Did they do it?
I think it worked so well. I think they were looking for something that would be fun, exciting, inject some sort of new energy into the franchise, and also just be, you know, good counter-programming while they know they're going to lose in the ratings because NBC has the Olympics. And I feel like they really hit all of that. It was really refreshing to see a cast of people, many who, you know, are a little older, a little more settled in their lives than what we've traditionally seen on The Bachelor, and coming from different cultures, coming with different experiences. It just was more interesting to watch the relationships that came out of it. To me, felt pretty authentic. And yeah, guys, I'm like a sucker for this show.
Megan, you were
actually there for a couple days.
I was so lucky up in Vermont. And I mean, I think what we saw on TV was really true to what I saw, which is like the internationals are so, they're a breath of fresh air. They speak like real people. They're not, I mean, like, well, we'll get to like the actual conversations, but I just feel like watching them, I'm watching real people. I'm not watching people who have watched The Bachelor for 2 decades and who.
You mean they had vocabulary other than amazing?
There wasn't a lot of, I like this. I love that. They're talking. They're real people. So.
Oh my goodness. It just got very dark in our podcast studio.
Angered the gods. I angered The Bachelor gods. Okay.
Apparently, we were sitting very still, so we need to get a little more energy going. And Nick's going to cut out my great commentary on the lights.
I hope they do it again and don't wait 4 years. Because I agree, there was sort of like an authenticity to it that is missing from the main franchises sometimes.
It seems like just a flaw in the actual design. Not the design, but like, it creates its own failure eventually. Like, if New Zealand keeps having The Bachelor, you have to imagine eventually they will be as savvy about it as Luke Pell or whoever. Right. And if, I mean, like, no Bachelor here would be insane enough to allow it to become publicly known that he flipped a coin to pick his, like, final person. I don't think it's a great thing to do, but it does show that sort of naivety about mm-hmm. what the show is and can do to people and how you have to present yourself. And the same thing happens with, like, a new show like Paradise or Winter Games. Is the first season, people don't really know what to expect who are on the show. And so that shapes how they act. Like, some people stayed longer because they thought new people were going to be brought in,
right.
which turned out not to happen. Next time they do it, that assumption won't be there. So eventually, it's all going to – it all ends up getting, like, calcified in this way that makes us feel more cynical.
Yeah, I think that was going to be my next question. Like, do we think if they make this – a yearly thing, would it sour pretty quickly the way that I feel like Paradise at first I loved, and then it's gotten more exhausting as it's gone on. And we can't fault people for understanding the bounds of what they're stepping into. I would want to also. But I wonder if having internationals and, you know, as the show pops up in various countries, you might be able to drag out that, you know, excitement for a little bit longer, just because you're creating these sort of cultural, not conflicts, but this meeting of various cultural expectations.
Yeah, yeah. I think if they do it again, they would probably stretch out the format a little bit, right? Because unless you have the Olympics going on, it's kind of awkward to just have 2 weeks, 4 episodes, whatever. So then I feel like they're going to get tempted to do the rolling cast thing where they bring in more cast, and maybe it'll be easier now that they've gone through the visa things once. But that always, I think that's what brings sort of like the cynical element, because once new people start coming in, everyone's like, how am I going to stay? And it's not as much about like dating and...
Right. Like, that's the thing that brings in the relationship drama in Paradise is people getting distracted by newer, like, more exciting, hotter cast members.
Yeah. Walking down the stairs to Chris Harrison.
Yeah, and people being like, I want to keep my options open. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't happen on Winter Games because you know your options. You picked the best one. And, like,
yeah.
I hope they don't start bringing in different cast. I feel like that is something that I enjoyed about this format. And not to say that it doesn't work on a show like Paradise, but if you're trying to do something different, do something different. And stick to that.
It's also amazing how it ended. They brought in one new cast member because of his visa issues, Jordan. He was late. And instead of creating drama, it actually fixed the drama in this sort of serendipitous way that probably would never happen again.
Where so true.
Bibi had just been dumped, it seemed like, pretty amicably for Ashley by Kevin. And then immediately was like, this Jordan guy's even better.
This works.
Which is amazing.
It was kind of beautiful. And then it allowed all of them to be friends.
Didn't you think it showed, like, a more positive side? Like, I just personally, after Bibi was on The Bachelor, I wasn't a huge fan. But then on Winter Games, I felt like I saw a different side of her. And I was, like, I feel like she, like, on Bachelor, I was always just like, she always looks like she's been waiting, like, for a table at a restaurant for an hour. Like, she just always
looks
like
vaguely mad.
Well, that
is essentially, I guess, what you're doing.
That's true.
You're, like, waiting for your time all the time on The Bachelor. Whereas on Winter Games, it's a little more natural. Like, I often will go away with a group of friends to, like, a winter house and hang out and play board games and go out in the snow, and some people make out with each other. And, like, that felt like what this was.
You've always had experiences that are very similar to the show that I just hear about. And I'm like, people do that stuff? That's great.
It's just me trying to recreate my summer camp days all the time.
I never went to summer camp. I've never been to, like, a big group house, like, in Vermont. I'm so jealous. It seems really fun. I think someone said, I think it was probably Robert Mills on Juliet's podcast, that they purposely didn't bring in new cast members to make it more like a solidarity throughout the world, mm-hmm. like the Olympics thing, which is a nice sentiment. But I have to imagine they're going to be really tempted to start throwing in the elements that have worked for them in the past.
No, just hold off.
Yeah.
Robert Mills, hold off.
The show's also too short. They'd have to make it longer. Like, 2 weeks.
2 weeks is not...
is not enough time to have a rolling cast coming through.
No. And, I mean, like with Paradise, by the end, when you have those people who come on for 2 days, it's just... impossible to care about them.
Yeah.
They don't know why they're there either.
Right.
They're like,
I've just been sitting in a hotel and I guess I was told it's my time to go on TV now. Like,
right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone's in a couple already. The people who aren't are extremely undesirable, clearly. So, like, what's the point of my being here?
But this felt different. It felt really fun. And, well done Bachelor franchise, I suppose.
Yeah. I have to say the international thing to me was really fun to watch. But in the end, contestants really ended up sorting into not very international couples.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Which I think is rational because you bring people together to date and they live half a world away from each other. That's a huge amount of stress to put on a relationship. There's often a language barrier and a cultural barrier. It didn't really make sense to me that they would all be, like, trying so hard to date each other.
And I think the U.S.-Canada thing, though. Bring more Canadians on to our show.
Yeah. Like, we've had, like, Canadians on The Bachelor forever.
Yeah.
Like, this whole – people were like, we should have a Canadian Bachelor. And I was like, well, we've had a Canadian Bachelorette,
two.
Like, three times. Mm-hmm. Twice.
Right? Yeah, Jillian. Caitlin and Jillian.
Yeah, they're our feeder system, totally. Yeah.
And they were both excellent, so, you know.
Yeah.
Bring on a Canadian Bachelor, though. We haven't had that.
That's true.
But, yeah, you're right. When I was there, it was like, I mean, it was the first cocktail party, but it was totally one couch America.
Really?
One couch, everybody else. And they were nervous, so I'm not saying it was, like, weird. They all seem very pleasant with each other, but
they seem very close now.
They do. The solidarity thing is so funny because the piece I did for the Times about it, it didn't make it in, but I interviewed Ashley and I interviewed Benoit. Benoit got cut from the piece altogether, but it was funny because, of course, I asked all them, like, did you talk about politics? Did you talk about international affairs? And Ashley was like, everybody was saying, like, we know Americans are nice no matter what's going on. We all want to move to America. And Benoit was like, yeah, everyone was saying we think we're going to move to Canada. So I think some things were lost there. But I was like, good for you guys
for
broaching
it. I bet both of those things happened.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
I mean, clearly we saw that some of them have moved to L.A.
Yeah.
But everyone still wants to move to Canada because
right.
it's clearly preferable.
Oh, yeah.
I have hopes for Claire, but, you know, we'll see, what they end up deciding to do. So we should talk about kind of the beats of how people's relationships played out. But first we have some exits as it becomes clear that new people aren't coming in and the non-coupled are left.
So Ben Higgins sort of sets off a mass exodus in episode 3. He has a really tearful conversation with Chris Harrison where he kind of talks about what this experience has brought up for him. And he expanded on this a little bit on the Bachelor Party podcast. And it makes sense. He said that, you know, being back sort of dating on television around all of the producers and camera people who had not only been there for his engagement, but also when they were shooting the spinoff show. Mm-hmm. And he just associated the whole setting with Lauren and with kind of the trauma of having a very public relationship and subsequently a very public breakup that people questioned whether it was even real. And that felt genuine to me.
Yeah. Ben is such a star. Like, it's unbelievable
wild.
To me. I'd forgotten how much fun he is to watch.
Me too.
Because, like, I can't identify a quality about him that makes him stand out. He doesn't, like, he's not, like, super witty.
Mm-hmm.
He's not super interesting or intellectual. But he just has the right combination of all the traits that I want to watch whatever he's doing, talking about.
Yeah. He almost has the feel of, like, a chaperone or something to me in the house.
Yeah.
Like, not in a bad way, but you know what I mean? You can feel everyone looking to him. Like,
he's the glue
what do we
guy.
Do now? Yeah.
He's sort of a natural leader, which really, really comes across, but he has a softness to him that makes it
he's
work.
He's very Obama-like.
But on the other side of the political spectrum.
That gentle charisma. Like, it's like he seems almost too soft-spoken to be commanding, and yet
You want to listen.
You want to know what he's going to say, and you want to follow him.
That's a bold comparison, but you know what?
It's yeah, a big one.
I feel good about it. They're
full
also
of
both very lanky. I don't know. And he, like, I like cried when he had his because this
I
is
cried a few times.
I cried a few times, but I cried first, I think, during this conversation with Chris Harrison, because it is something that I think about a lot with Bachelor couples as someone who snarks on the franchise a lot. And who doesn't want to be, like, a sucker, you know? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, they know they're going to break up. Like, they don't even care about each other. They, like, they just want to stay together so it's not embarrassing. But I have to think that a lot of couples would break up after a couple years anyway. And that doesn't mean they didn't really love each other. We've all been in relationships like that. And then to have so many people dismissing your pain as performed must be so disheartening and just
and there's really no way to combat that and I do think that probably viewers just naturally seeing something like this come up is maybe the best way to combat that perception and that's not to say that this was calculated because I don't think it was from my understanding of it is that you know, no one quite knew what the format of the show was going to be. Ben wasn't even quite sure what he was, what role he was going to play. And then being thrown back into it brought something up. We know that these environments are really locked boxes. They tend to bring out people's emotions because that's what makes good television. And this was a really compelling moment for me. I also really loved how much the other cast members seemed to value Ben's friendship. It was very sweet. He clearly had become sort of a big brother figure to Yuki, and they had a lot of genuine fun and a lot of genuine love between the two of them. And she was just weeping when he came out to kind of tell everyone, I think it's my time to go. And that was nice to see. And then it set off, as I said, a mass exodus where then Michael and Yuki also left.
So Michael then is like, I mean, Ben's right. There's no one really here that I'm going to date either, and no one else is coming, so it's time for me to go. Has a kind of low-key goodbye.
Apparently there was more to it, but
they're usually – Michael has been hilarious on Twitter. He's, like, so bitter that nothing is shown of him. And then Chris Harrison has to sit Yuki down and be like, there are no boys left for you.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that conversation because early on in the show, we see Chris Harrison try to interview Yuki at an event, and a lot is made of how she's not really understanding the question, and it's so funny, and I hated that. And this time he came, like, prepared with some questions in Japanese and was really trying to communicate, and it was a really sweet conversation.
I noticed that, too, and I thought that's an interesting course correction because they were so into hyping her lack of English. And then, you know, that conversation, they played it very straight. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, mispronouncing something and laughing about it. He was like, I came prepared. I'm trying to do a good job here. And
right, and it's not to say that they handled that barrier perfectly by any means, but I do appreciate that at least by the end of the show, I felt like Yuki was less of a caricature and more of a human being, and we got to see from the cast perspective the genuine affection that's there for her, which made it the whole thing feel a little bit less gross.
Yeah, I don't, by the way, buy that she was sort of holding back on English. Like, I know there's been a lot of people saying, oh, she knew, like, sort of implying, oh, she can speak English really well. She just wanted to appear a certain way on camera. But I saw her, like,
use... I don't think she can speak it really well.
Yeah.
But she said she knew four words, and by, like, 5 minutes into the show, she was saying a lot more than four words.
She had, like, just the Bachelor dialect, like...
Yeah. I'm like, I think there's a big gap between she knows the language really well and she knows four words. And I think she's somewhere
in the middle.
She is. But I did, like, I saw her use a translator a lot on set. And so, you know, I felt like it was a little snarky the way people kept being like, she's just, I'm like, that would be so.
I think it makes people feel better, too, about the way that the persona is, like, laughed at.
That's
true.
It's
like she's doing it on purpose.
If she's in on it, then it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they cut around the translator so completely. Like, because we did hear from Michael and Leslie that she had a translator, but
who was fully in the house with her. And I was again, I do my, like, deep dive Instagram stalking after these shows end. And there were photos where there was this, like, other girl in it with a bunch of the cast members. I'm like, who is this person? Then I realized this is Yuki's translator. Yeah. And clearly the whole cast knows her because she was in the house all the time. Yeah.
It must be weird, too, to be a translator for friendship. Where it's like, I'm only here so that you can be friends with this other person. It's not like diplomacy or whatever, yeah, right?
Stakes are low.
Yeah, but it's also like, I'd be like, why not just be friends with me? Like, I'm here, right. You can talk to me. I don't know. Like, it just seems like such a weird dynamic in which to be a trans, or like romance, yeah. To be like, I'm here so you can go on a date with this other girl.
I
because
know.
You can't, you know, communicate directly.
Hopefully the translator doesn't have like a sibling who works at the UN who just like shames them at Thanksgiving. Like, how's the bachelor going?
Oh, cool. If you mistranslate it, there might be like a little awkwardness around the jacuzzi. Cool. If I mistranslate something, there's a war. So at this point, then Yuki leaves the house very emotional, and it's only couples left.
And we did hear from Michael that Ben, Yuki, and Michael all hung out at the hotel afterwards.
Aww. And smoked menthol cigarettes from
Japanese
Japan.
Cigarette.
That's adorable. So the couples remaining now are Josiah and Allie. Jordan and Bibby, Leslie and Dean, Luke and Stassi, Kevin and Ashley, Courtney and Lily, and Claire and Christian. And they are having an event instead of a rose ceremony to see who will have to go home. And it is a kissing contest.
And Claire and Christian don't even make it to the kissing contest, we should...
Yeah, so
clarify.
They all show up thinking it's going to be some sort of rose ceremony. Chris Harrison says, it's a kissing contest. Claire and Christian at this point have not kissed and are also kind of in a fight. Mm-hmm. So naturally, and Claire seems to be sort of hoping that Christian will make a move during that conversation.
Like, there's some sort of cultural barrier that neither of them can quite cross. Like, something seems to be getting a little lost in translation with some of what Christian is trying to communicate. I don't know. It just, they were missing each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was sort of heavily trying to imply that he should just make a move now. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. And he was sort of like, well, I guess that the right moment didn't come. And,
and
what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. He seemed so impassioned, though, when he was like, I'm so sorry. Like, whispering in her ear. So,
But it's interesting because he showed, like, zero emotion, really, up until the moment when they're like, we should go.
Mm-hmm.
And they do decide they should eventually just leave before the contest. And then he sort of, like, grabs her and kisses her cheek and is like, I'm so sorry. He says and is in the moment, like, I hate myself. Mm-hmm. That I can't show her how I feel. It is weird because I don't want to attribute too much to cultural differences. We know that people are all very different within cultures. And I don't know that much about the German culture around dating. So I really have no idea how much of it is a cultural difference and how much of it is just Christian and Claire.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea.
That's true. It's probably a bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Apparently... In Germany, when you say you'll go on the jacuzzi, it's
you
a date.
Go. It's
that
an appointment, Claire. It's not a date. It's
the
an
way
appointment.
You said it was
it's
so
an appointment.
I want to hear that clip over and over
me
again.
Too.
It's
me
amazing.
Too. The sound.
Or
amazing.
Just him saying jacuzzi over and over again.
Then but just the way, like when we say you go on jacuzzi in Germany, it's a date.
Yes. Did you notice too that it waned as the show went on? But when they were fighting early on. Claire, when things would get heated, would almost take on this accent of her own. Like, I think being in the vacuum with it, like, I swear I could hear her being like, you did not come to me. Like, it was it just, like, things got.
I think there is that impulse, too, to be like, he's not understanding me because we speak different languages. He sounds like this. So if I sound like that, he'll understand. It's like this very, like, basic instinct about trying to converse with someone who has an accent. It doesn't make any sense, but I think it's an instinctual thing of like they'll understand me better if I sound like that.
She went that road a little bit.
Yeah, I think she definitely did. She was like, he's talking to me like this. I will talk back to him like that, and then we will
somehow understand each other, which unfortunately for the two of them, or maybe fortunately, honestly, because they did not belong together.
No.
They had a very classy exit, parting of ways.
And it was the nicest.
It was the right move.
Nicest interaction they ever had.
I mean, I feel like all of the breakups on this show were fairly mature and
maybe I think that's, partly because there was no like sense of being chosen over or against. Like there on The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, it's always like, oh, what makes me worse than her? What makes me worse than them?
Right.
And
this is more like actual dating.
Right. This is more like that usual situation where you're like, we're just not on the same page. You're great. And I wish this could work out. But like something isn't right. It feels, I think, less there's less resentment there when you don't feel like you're being rejected
in
favor of someone else.
That's such a good point. And I really enjoyed watching that. And I wonder if from the Bachelor production point of view, I'm sure there is a concern that that would be boring, you know, to just watch more normal relationships play out. And I'm, you know, obviously on a show like The Bachelor, that's impossible because that's literally not the conceit. But on a side show like this, it works incredibly well. And it was nice to feel the instinct to relate to the couples rather than to pick apart and make fun of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is always something I struggle with. Like, what is that line?
Did you guys ever watch Terrace House?
No.
No. What's Terrace House?
Terrace House is a Japanese reality show about like a group of young people.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah. Rose Buddies watched it and recapped it and I listened and they were obsessed with it. And I've heard that from other people who like The Bachelor that it's really good. And I think that that was a big part of it. It was just people living together. They would, some of them would date. Maybe things wouldn't work out. But there wasn't like a structure that forced them to date and break up in the same way. And I think there is something really appealing about that. But it doesn't sound that great in the abstract. Like, I've never been motivated to watch Terrace House, even though I've heard how great it is, because it sounds boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then watching Winter Games, I wasn't bored by that.
I think it works well with Winter Games, though, because you're motivated because you know some of these characters.
That's true.
And that is the best way that this franchise can capitalize on these characters that they've created on the main shows, is to then put them in these situations that perhaps would sound boring, but I'm compelled to watch a Claire or an Ashley or, you know, a Leslie.
And the other side of it is that it's not all people that we already know.
Right.
Right?
So it's like, a great balance.
Sometimes I think on Paradise it doesn't read genuine because they do already know each other. They've been to a million trillion events together and mixed and mingled. But this was like, oh, it's half people that we know as characters, but they're actually spontaneously getting to know new people.
How did it feel when you were there watching those meetings take place?
They were so nervous at that point. The most entertaining thing I saw, I mean, Yuki went around all night and talked to every single one of the guys. And that was so cool to watch. But there was, I mean, that was when I started to form my opinion of Luke, which the New York Times does not endorse. I do not represent the New York Times.
Personal opinions
with my views of Luke, but you could just feel how bad he wanted to be the Bachelor. And I mean, like, you could see it on camera. He had so many lines, like, I want tomorrow, too. Like, oh, my God, get out of here. And he, you know, at that point, I'm trying to think of how he already would have been sort of hooked up with Stassi at that point. But they were sort of already together-ish, like, interested in each other. But I saw him talk to other girls and, like, Jenny, who I was a huge fan of, who got zero airtime, but I thought she was really cool just observing. He was talking to her and trying to be like, you know, I'm interested in you, but I'm also interested in Stassi, and sort of trying to like play them off each other. And Jenny was having none of it. She was like, everyone should talk to everyone. Everyone should get to know everyone. Like, it was fantastic. I was like, yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I don't know. You can definitely, it's when you're there in person, I was surprised by how easy it is to separate sort of the people who are really there to, like, build a brand, as they say, and, like, get more Instagram followers from the people who are just hanging out and seeing if something works out romantically.
Did you feel like the other cast members could tell, or were they all kind of in a bubble together, not really observing the same dynamics?
I mean, they definitely were spread out a little bit, so they wouldn't have seen everything, but I feel like they've all got each other's number. You know what I mean? Like, you can kind of tell. If I can tell, being there for 2 hours.
You're just a professional journalist. Whatever.
But yeah, it was really interesting. And by the way, I will say, my biggest impression was, like, this crew should win all of the Emmys. Because the way they dance between conversations and, like, pick up on things and switch focus, like, to be in that control room is, like, insane. It's
So how is it set up? Is there a control room that is offset where they're watching all this footage?
No, they were right in the lodge. And it's basically, you know, it's like any live broadcast. I mean, it's not live,
right,
but they are directing it that way. And I didn't see them, you know, I know there's a lot of talk of, like, oh, they make people talk or they give them talking points. They were really letting these people go and talk organically and just being really quick to jump in there whenever it was something that could be compelling. So I was super impressed with them.
Did you see people being, like, pulled aside for in the moments and stuff?
No, I really didn't. It was a really, at least while I was there, it was a really natural environment. Yeah.
To be honest, it is, like, kind of amazing to me that The Voice is always, like, winning Emmys and Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And The Bachelor isn't. I feel like it is an incredible achievement of production.
They're extremely talented.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. You know,
it's my least cynical thing about The Bachelor is I'm like, give these people trophies.
Well, yeah. And I think that's why, you know, Claire and I have talked about this, like, why part of why we are so fascinated by the show. It's been running since 2002 with pretty consistent success. And it has, you know, this structure, but they are also doing, like, innovating. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine the amount of things you have to juggle to make the show work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about more couples.
So, well, we're still at the kissing contest.
Right. We're at the...
And it's being judged by a number of the American exes.
They basically were right. They were like,
it's JoJo.
Who's left? Let's call in all of their bachelor / bachelorettes.
So we have JoJo, Rachel, and Ari. Bibiana obviously was just cut from Ari's season like a week ago. And so they all just basically have some time to hang out and prep their kissing, and then they get into it. And first up is Leslie and Dean, and they do a little dance number.
They really leaned into the, like, this is a competition, less than the passionately make out with each other.
Yeah, they did a little dance, and then she, like, put her knees on his shoulders and popped up and, like...
It's kind of impressive, honestly.
I mean, I couldn't do it.
From a purely technical standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rachel hated it to a degree that was pretty awkward to watch.
It made me wonder whether she was sort of taking the role as the harsh judge and that she had said other harsh things, or whether...
Right.
And they had only showed us her commentary on Leslie and Dean, because it did come off as kind of pointed in a way that was like, ugh. It didn't, like, concern me deeply, but I was like, ugh.
I don't think any commentary on a kissing contest should be that harsh. Like, they're kissing for you. Like, be nice. Like, it's weird to be like...
I didn't love
your
this.
Kissing sucked. Like, who cares? Like, we enjoyed it. Go fuck off. So that was an awkward start to the whole situation. Also, the dance itself was quite awkward to watch.
I didn't love the dance. But again, it's people kissing. Like, who am I to say? Yeah. Who is anyone to say?
And then we see everyone else kind of goes through their standard kissing.
Poor
Courtney
Allie.
And Lily does, like, do a cute thing where she, like, puts on a fresh coat of lipstick and then lets him mess it up. They were fine with that, like, cutesy little detail, but they were not okay with the gymnastics. I'm just going to point that out. The judges.
Double standards.
Okay, yes.
And then poor Allie, her stomach is getting upset. They played it off like she was anxious about Josiah and their relationship, but I saw her post something indicating that it had nothing to do with Josiah and everything to do with the fact she'd been drinking a ton of Baileys that night.
Yeah.
Baileys?
Yeah.
Of all things.
Yeah. Just lots of cream and alcohol.
Yeah. She said, I ate some questionable sashimi and drank a bunch of Baileys, that is why
no.
I threw up. Yeah.
One of those cream sushi liquor and Baileys.
It sounds like the worst combination.
It's like, I want to guarantee I'm going to have to throw up later. What can I put in my stomach?
That makes a lot of sense now.
I'm sure it didn't help that that is a really awkward thing to be scrutinized while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, and I'm like sweating. I had this weird fish.
She was like, gray. Like there was no question that she was amping that up.
You could see her like visibly burp, trying to burp it back.
Yeah. That feeling is so terrible. And to be on camera while that happens, oh God, that's a true nightmare. Luckily, Allie is the most good-natured person I've ever seen on television. So she handled it well.
And throws up and then brushes her teeth and comes back and makes out with Josiah.
But it is still not enough, and they lose the kissing contest.
Yeah. I mean, it does. She does say that she's not super sure about their relationship, so it doesn't seem like a terrible choice.
No, it seems like the right people to kind of make an exit at that point. Mm-hmm. They clearly weren't going to work
nice
after.
Nice that he was willing to kiss her after.
Shows
she
real dedication to the craft, and I, you know,
the craft,
respect that.
Yeah. So at that point, we're left with Jordan and Bibby, Leslie and Dean, Luke and Stassi, Kevin and Ashley, and Courtney and Lily. And the next night, last night, we watched them do like a Paris ice dancing competition.
Nice. Nancy Kerrigan was there.
They got Nancy Kerrigan. They got her.
I was so happy. I mean, she deserves better maybe than The Bachelor. She deserves everything.
She was having fun with it.
But I was happy to see her on television. I used to watch these like VHSs of her and Christy Yamaguchi and Michelle Kwan. Like I have like distinct memories of watching these VHS tapes at my grandparents' house in Connecticut and just being obsessed with Nancy Kerrigan. So I was here for it.
I loved her. They got a lot of good people for this, relatively speaking.
They did.
Like Hannah Storm, and Nancy Kerrigan.
They had Ty Babylonia and Randy Gardner,
who
champion ice
dancers. Sort of want to know more about in the present. Like I want the cameras to follow them a little. Something with Randy and his red gloves, just like stop. God, like I loved. It was amazing.
They were pretty fun. And also I've never heard of them, which just like made me think about how little I know about the history of Paris ice
Paris skating.
Yeah.
Well, they did win in gold in the late 70s, I think.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I wasn't
while.
Born then,
right.
That's
yeah.
true. I also kind of missed Nancy Kerrigan. We're like the same age, Emma, and you and I are. And I think the first Winter Olympics I really remember is Tara Lipinski.
Oh, really?
Winning. Okay. Yeah. I don't have a great memory.
No, Oksana Baiul.
My childhood is like a vague blur.
Nancy Kerrigan won the silver in
94,
because Tara Lipinski was 98.
I was six. Yeah. How do you guys remember being six?
It helps when you do have it on VHS, which I'm sure
I
did too.
Yeah,
I probably rewatched it.
I was seven. I don't know. Does that year make
probably?
Make a
yeah, seven
lot of
is
difference.
When I really
seven
started
a lot
making memory.
Either you know,
right?
during rehearsals is when cracks really start to show for Jordan and Bibiana. She is a former NFL cheerleader, and he is just
not
some dude from New Zealand.
Poor Bibby. She was just trying to nail these dance moves.
If anyone thinks that Bibby seemed like she was being really hard on Jordan, just know that is how I act with my husband. and I felt a lot of like self-loathing during that. I kept being like, why is she being so mean? And then I was like, Claire, remember when he put the glasses touching in the dishwasher like last week? And you were much meaner than that.
I thought she was being really kind, actually. Like, you could really see her, like, I mean, I know she was, like, flipping out in the dance session, but then you could see her really struggling with, like, she wished she could.
Oh, the actual breakup, I thought.
Yeah, the actual breakup I didn't think was harsh. I just thought it was funny to watch them trying to rehearse, and she kept being like, no, you can't tug me like that. You can't, no. Okay, I know you're feeling the music, but, like, you have to calm down.
It was very entertaining.
Well,
I did feel a little bit bad for Jordan, but I also felt Bibiana's frustration and could relate to just do it correct. Just do it the way that you're supposed to.
Oh, my God.
There's also, like, if you're already feeling the seeds of annoyance with someone,
you
don't want to be touching that. Like,
there was
so much touching involved in that breakup between the dancing and then later when she was trying. She just kept saying, like, I need space. And he just kept being like, while I touch your face and hair? And she's like, yeah. No, please just take a step.
I think he picked the wrong time to initiate a conversation about whether they should commit because yes. she was feeling suffocated and confused and annoyed. And he was like, but
right.
how much more pressure can we load on?
And he
this?
Just kept doing it. Like, I was like, put a dog gate at the stairs so that he can't go up again.
It was hard. I felt for both of them because yeah. I think also once you feel that instinct, like, I need to have this answer and my own anxiety is pushing me to ask the question, once you open that up, you can't really take it back. And so I think...
And then it's hard to wait with person knowing that vulnerable thing about you and deciding your fate.
I really felt for both of them. I yeah. felt for both of them because I think I've been in both positions where I'm like, I have these feelings and I want to share them and I want to understand what my expectations should be moving out of this, you know, one environment into the next yeah. step. And then I've also been in the situation of feeling, I don't know where I stand on this and I don't want you to ask me that question. I'm not prepared to answer it. And then sort of coming to the realization of, I guess if I can't answer it, we can't move forward.
Yeah. And he did care. Like, you could tell there was nothing, you know, camera made about.
Yeah.
He was crying.
I think that, like, people have been. New Zealanders are very skeptical about him because of the coin flipping. And it's like he can never do a good thing ever again.
I guess
again.
We just don't have that scar tissue.
We don't have that. We know about it, but it's not the same as having lived through it. I think that was a shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
But... I do think that he really was excited about Bibiana and he was like, yeah. this is going to be my second chance. I'm going to actually find someone I'm really excited about through this process and we're going to not just like dink through this for mm-hmm. TV. And then she was like, oh, no, I just thought we were having fun basically and not rushing through it. And now I can't handle what you're asking for. It was really sad.
It was so sad. Claire and I were just, like, messaging each other throughout the whole breakup. A lot of yeah. exclamation points and, like, I'm so sad. This yeah. is so sad.
Also, Jordan, like, I have to say, he's the hottest one. I think he's the hottest
one. I'm the most attracted to him. I think it's personality. There's something about him. I don't know. I'm drawn to it.
I think it's
Courtney is attractive as well.
Yeah, but like Courtney, I think his personality is more attractive to me than Jordan's. But yeah. I still find Jordan more attractive.
I find Jordan extremely attractive. And Claire and I may have somewhat unintentionally set a thirst trap for Jordan last night.
I always forget that people from the show follow us. And so I will just tweet things like, wow, Jordan's super hot. Like, he's the hottest dude.
And then I quote tweeted Claire and was like, yes, we feel strongly about this. Like,
and then he started following us.
Well,
so.
he started following us because Michael responded to Claire's tweet, tagged Jordan, expressed his own hurt over the tweet. Michael's an actual friend of ours.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jordan followed both of us, and I'm like, is this what it means to set a thirst trap successfully?
I mean, it was pretty easy. Like, we didn't even do it on purpose.
Oh, my God.
So
yeah, if Jordan ever comes through New York, you know, he knows he's welcome on this podcast.
Yeah.
And in our hearts.
Honestly, any of them, except for Luke.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Any of them,
not,
I would be down
I
to hang out with.
Am I too harsh on Luke?
No.
Do you see what I see?
Okay, well, we have to.
We'll get there. We'll
soon
get there.
We're going to get to Luke and Stassi.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with a lot more from Winter Games and, of course, breaking down that surprise engagement. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that
planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. our big console article, my bed frame article. This is an article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Oh, we should mention that before the competition, they all get a fantasy suite date.
Oh, right. I almost forgot this happened.
I know, because they really zipped through it. And it's interesting. The international couples did not take advantage of the fantasy suite. Stassi said no. She wouldn't be able to, like, look her mother in the eye. And Courtney and Lily were just like, we don't need it. Like, we're falling in love and we're going to, like, hang out after the show. We don't need to, like, appear to be having sex on TV.
Slowly closing the door.
Yeah. And then Leslie and Dean were sort of like, we really want this time. Leslie hasn't been with a guy since her reconstructive surgery from her mastectomy. So she was, like, really wanted to make sure, I think, that Dean would handle that well. Mm-hmm. And Kevin and Ashley are just like, let's do this. Time to rid Ashley of her reputation for virginity, if not her actual virginity.
I don't think that they had sex on that fantasy suite date.
Who knows?
Also, who cares? But
I don't care.
I would like to say that I thought Kevin, I thought they had like a nice conversation when they did address her virginity.
I was really torn about that conversation. What did you think?
I didn't love... I know the part that you didn't love.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I thought the conversation was fine. The treatment of her virginity overall on the show,
oh,
I was
terrible.
Definitely... There's been some hits and misses.
Mostly misses.
I didn't love the sign that the kid was holding up.
I hated that so much.
It was like, Ashley, don't give it up with it crossed out.
Presumably someone from the show gave her that to hold. If so,
obviously,
take back one Emmy that I gave them for all of their jerky.
My understanding is that all of the signs we ever see on this show pre-made, handed out to people in the audience.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I think this was like the only way Ashley could have remotely gracefully transitioned out of being known for being a virgin was to be like, I'm going to now put myself publicly in a setting where I may no longer be a virgin and then refuse to ever talk about it again.
I thought it was a smart move.
That's the only thing. Because I was like, now I always was very worried about Ashley, about how weird it would be to have to talk about losing her virginity. And so she made it sort of public, but also didn't and threaded that needle.
It also made me think that Kevin was kind of like, look, this is not what we're going to be about. I don't want our sex life to become the focal point.
Yeah,
and
he picked the wrong person for that, to be honest.
But it sounded like they'd had a conversation about it and made that decision together.
Mm-hmm. I will say I was a little bit, and I say this as someone who waited a long time to have sex for very similar reasons to Ashley in a lot of ways, but also some other ones. I'm like a little bothered by the way that she is like, look at me. I'm a role model for how like girls can like wait for the perfect guy and that it's worth it.
Yeah, that's the only part of that narrative that bothered me as well. I thought that the conversation between her and Kevin was sweet and very respectful, and I appreciated that that was handled with grace. I do think it's a bit of a problematic message to put Ashley's experience and make that something that this is now generalizable and right. encouraging of other young women putting so much weight one way or the other on that virginity. I think that's part of the problem to begin with, right? That we attribute so much meaning outside of just the fact that, yes, you know, there are considerations of pregnancy, health risks, all of those things that people need to be aware of before they make that decision. Mm-hmm. And you want people to be responsible. But at the same time, I think putting so much weight onto something creates this very problematic expectation. It creates this meaning that then labels people as like, oh, what does it mean if you had sex at X point or right. chose not mm-hmm. to? And that's definitive of your character in some way. And that just puts terrible pressure on women regardless of what sexual choices they make. And I don't like that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny to see, like, like you said earlier, The Bachelor and its iterations have been on since 2002. And the conversation around these things, like, not to get too heavy about it, but it has evolved so much since then that sometimes I feel like I can see the show trying to sort of catch up in their own way. And other times they just don't make the mark. And so I almost appreciated where she was coming from in trying to put it in context for other people sure. who might feel the same way about virginity and stuff. But I really think it just needed a little tweak to be like, I'm more of a role model because I just decided I could do what I wanted, and everyone can decide to do what they want with their sexuality, that kind of thing. You know, yeah. So it's like they're almost there.
But I just think that the fact that she talked about it so much and was shown obviously talking about it so much is inherently a problem.
Yeah, you can't put the genie back in the bottle whatsoever.
Right. Like, I just don't think there's a not problematic way to focus so much on whether or not she's had sex.
Right.
And again, I say that as someone who used to be really into my own virginity, mm-hmm. and I don't think it was the healthiest thing for me. And I don't think it made me more admirable than other people. But I understand why it's become at this point for Ashley I understand also that people who are virgins feel like affirmed by her. And I think that obviously it's good. Everyone should feel good about their choices.
And for what it's worth, for them. I think like our first famous virgin in the franchise was Sean Lowe, right?
He was a born again virgin. Like most men who are virgins and yet like
have had sex.
Desirable. Like, I feel like there's this whole culture of the born again male virgin.
I love, by the way, you guys were so quick with that fact in unison.
Well, so much was made of it.
Thank you for fact checking it.
He's also written about that in his book. And he's talked about it.
I just read about that in Amy's book. But
you're like, do not come at us.
Yeah. Virgin Sean
Your
Lowe.
Fake news
Come
about
on.
Sean Lowe's virginity.
We watched the first season of The Bachelor once, and it was so interesting how sex was talked about. Like, the fantasy suite was such a weird, like, gross thing still, but at the same time, leads would talk so openly about how important it was to have sex and like a sexual connection in a way that they're almost more weird about now. Like, it just feels,
well, they got extremely weird about it for a long time, and now we're in the phase of them grappling with coming out of that, I think, and we have been
mm-hmm.
since
Sean made us all feel so weird about sex.
Nick sort of,
yeah, that wasn't great. Ugh. All the couples seem like they're, you know, so Jordan and Bibby leave before the fantasy suite because of this breakup. The four remaining couples seem to be doing great. Luke and Stassi have this conversation about, like, what do you see for us after the show?
This rings so false to me. And maybe it's because I already had a hinky feeling about Luke. But like you said, Megan, he had all of these lines. I don't just want today. I want tomorrow.
Yeah.
There is no end for us. There is no last day. Like, things that weren't real. And she would say something concrete, like, I don't want this to end. I don't want to feel like I'm missing an opportunity, but I want to see where this goes after.
Right.
And he would give a very vague, affirming sounding, but without actually making any kind of.
He kept asking her the same question over and over again, like it hadn't been answered. Like he would be like, "What do you see for us after the show?" And she'd be like, "I see you. I'm very flexible. I would live anywhere. I've lived in different cultures. What's important to me is being with the person I love, and I want to see that with you." And he'd be like, "But what do you see for us in the future? Because it's just hard to know what could be in the future, you know?"
Yeah.
And it was just like he felt like he was hoping he wouldn't get the answers from her so that it would be easy to end it.
Right.
And then he just kept asking the question as if to convey that he hadn't gotten the answer.
And this is the thing. I do not fault Luke if he wanted to come on the show, see what was going on, maybe date someone. But at a certain point, you just say, okay, I'm not going to feel this afterwards, so I'm going to do, you know, what Jordan and Bibi did and exit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw that with a few other couples or people who are briefly interested in someone of just being like,
I'm not feeling this. Right. This isn't going to go anywhere for me.
Yeah. But no, he was extremely evasive.
Yeah. And he kept saying the things of like, we have a soul connection.
Right.
And like, I feel things with Stassi I've never felt before. And it's like, don't say that stuff if you have no plans to even get her phone number in 2 days.
Right. Gross. Gross.
Disgusting.
I'm over him. I hope they never cast him on another Bachelor show. Like, no. And we already knew all of this weird stuff about when he was almost the Bachelor. And
he was, like, catfishing, like, a bunch of women, basically.
He was dating them and telling them, oh, if you're on my season, I'll bring you to the end. Just a lot of sketchy shit.
Yeah.
And not treating women very well and making promises he didn't fulfill. So, I'm always willing to give someone another chance, and he's failed spectacularly to make my impression of him any different.
I do kind of love it when people come on clearly for a rehab tour and fail, because I hate to feel like I've fallen for a rehab tour.
It's true.
When they succeed, I want to be like, maybe they're just good people. And when they fail, I'm like, he tried to get rehabbed and failed, so he sucks. Meanwhile, Courtney and Lily, so cute, are like – telling each other they love each other. And I just like, I love them. They sit down in their little fantasy suite with there's like a fur throw, and he's like, do you like my place? Do you like, this is albino gerbil fur or something. And I was like, Courtney.
They are delightful together.
That was
the
conversation.
She's like, did you skin them with your teeth?
Yeah. That was the exchange that afterwards I was like, oh, this is why I like the show. That just felt like actual banter. People weren't like glued back in their seats, like trying to watch their words and what they say. They just feel like real.
The internationals felt less cautious around the cameras, at least the ones that made it far in the show than some of the Americans. And I think it is partially that maybe the franchise in their country isn't as ingrained. There's less pressure they feel.
It feels like the difference between watching like a really good romantic comedy and watching one that was made by someone who knows what a romantic comedy is. And it's and then they have chemistry. And then we see them saying, I really am interested in you, but there's our fathers are enemies. You know, like there's something so much more believable about watching people who clearly have things to talk about other than their feelings for each other.
Yeah. The international cast members that I talked to, too, like I asked all of them, what's the biggest difference between this and making The Bachelor or The Bachelorette in your country? And they all said to a one that like the crew is so much smaller. There's fewer cameras when they're shooting overseas, and there was a lot that their cameras missed. So that I think they came in with a kind of comfort of like, maybe not every single word I say is going to end up on national television / like not at all where I live, unless they live in Canada.
Also, there is like, the American cast members were really the focus of most of the season.
Yeah.
Because it's an American audience, and sometimes was annoyed by that. I was like, I really want to see more of Courtney and Lily. They've been a couple this whole time. We never see them. But I think that also gave them a little freedom to enjoy the experience without having it, like, turned into this really tortured narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. And, when I was talking to Mike Fleiss, who's very forthcoming, he's great. I love interviewing him because he's just, you know, no bullshit. He said, like, this was before the show aired. And he said, you know, we were nervous in editing that just a couple with two international
cast members just is not going to hit as well on American TV.
Sure.
And I was thinking, oh, like, I wonder who couples up, because I didn't know at that point. But then, in, you know, when it shook out and it was Courtney and Lily, I was like, oh, I feel like they blew this whole theory to hell. Like, they were so compelling. And just as, like, a really important aside, did anyone notice that Lily had a sweatshirt that said, my grandkids are as cute as buttons?
No.
Guys, please rewind.
No, what? I did notice Stassi's pineapple.
That was a lot.
That was
a, yeah.
Because it was also, so Stassi has a bright pink pineapple covered yes. onesie that she wears to bed, apparently.
Yeah.
It's also very tight.
It was more of like a surf, like it struck me as like yeah. a wetsuit.
Spandex
it
looked like a situation. Wetsuit.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, no, I miss that sweatshirt.
Please go back. It's when they're in the dressing room. She was having a dramatic conversation with another girl, but I can't remember who it was.
Also, like, they never had any sort of problem in their relationship, which was definitely teased heavily. It was like,
yeah,
Lily and
right.
Courtney are gonna, like, yeah. nothing, zero. What I'm glad, because I just want them to be in love and have adorable grandkids
Agreed.
Who are cute as buttons. And, yeah, so I think that brings us to the competition. And they all do surprisingly great.
I was impressed. I would have been falling constantly. They did – all of them did at least some balancing and a
yeah.
bit of
– the lift.
Some
the
lift.
Like, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I was impressed.
Yeah.
Dean just did, like, a tour jeté out of nowhere. Like,
yeah,
I don't –
that was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they did have choreographers, it seems like.
Yes.
to put those beautiful routines together. Lily and Courtney were, I think, the best ones. They did, like, a glide together that was very...
They were definitely the most fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Luke and Stassi were pretty good. She's mm-hmm. a dancer.
Oh, yeah.
That came across.
Yes, uh-huh. definitely.
So that's why he kept calling her athletic. Leslie and Dean... Their main thing, I think, is that Leslie, had the best costume. It was very flattering. Mm-hmm.
She looked fantastic.
Yeah.
When like, Lily put her costume on, I was like, which producer hates you? That is the worst thing.
What was her line? She said, I feel like an overgrown toddler.
Covered in
sequins.
That was
she
very
was like,
90s.
She said, it's my mom's wet dream or something like that.
She said, I have the sex appeal of a wet sock.
Yeah, her banter is fantastic.
It was like it gave her no shape, but
it
then
was
there was
so
kind of a long skirt.
Yeah.
It was powder blue. Yeah. It was bad.
It was super. It was like 92.
It
yeah.
did not fit her.
There was a scrunchie, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
She also voluntarily wears scrunchies.
She does love
and
a
she
scrunchie.
Really pulls them off.
Absolutely.
I would not look as cute yeah. in a scrunchie.
She is very like 90s teen magazine cover model.
Yes,
look.
She is. Yeah. yeah.
And even Ashley's like had like a drop waist thing that I thought was very unflattering.
Leslie had the best costume.
Only got
by
costume,
far.
Which yeah. is the most important thing. To no one's surprise, like was anyone surprised that Kevin and Ashley won? I was just like, they
no.
producers
no.
really want
yeah.
Ashley to win.
Another thing I saw on Instagram stories last night, I guess a bunch of them, shocker, were watching the finale together, and Courtney. It was on Courtney or Lily's Instagram where Courtney's like, it is rigged. That was rigged. And he pants to Ashley. And she's like, yeah, it probably was. I don't know. Like, she's like, I mean, yeah.
Well, like, rigged versus what? Like, what were the criteria?
Right. Well, exactly.
Like, that's Evan and I were talking about this last night. And I was just like, well, they can just pick her.
Right.
Like, they're just picking one of
yeah.
them.
Yeah, they. I guess they never laid
There's
out,
no
like,
points.
A scoring
There's
system.
There's no judges. There's
a scoring system. Yeah. And... The one issue that I always have with Ashley, who, like, has many wonderful seeming qualities, is just that I think she gets pushed so hard as, like, you all really love her and all you care about is whether she finds love and whether she's happy and whether she gets to win. And I feel like when you push that so hard, it can become a little bit, like...
Have the what opposite effect.
Right. Like, I start being like, well, what about all the other people? They
yeah.
seem fine, too. So I felt in that moment a little bit like, oh, of course they're going to make sure Ashley wins mm-hmm. and she gets her redemption narrative. But on the other hand, who cares? Because it's a meaningless victory.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe they were all so obsessed with it.
And also, Kevin was the only one who actually cared about the competition. So, you know, I'm
right.
glad he got that affirmation.
Yeah. And they get golden roses, which actually is pretty cool. I want
yeah.
one of those.
I hope they got to keep those.
Yeah.
Or are they like on loan from Neil Lane and you only owe them if you stay stay together for more
like
than 2 years?
Neil Lane, and I noticed too, well, we'll get to the other Neil Lane thing, but like I was just thinking it's so funny. There's like no way, like my husband was thinking, like, do you think there'll be a proposal or anything while they're there and stuff? I'm like, Neil Lane is not coming to Vermont. Neil Lane doesn't do Vermont. He does finales and Barbados and all that, but Neil Lane's not coming. He doesn't have cold weather gear.
They don't have time to fit in Neil Lane. They have to fit this whole season into
four episodes.
So then we go right into the reunion show, the Bachelor World Winter Games World Tells All.
We get a little bit of, you know, some of the other cast members who didn't end up in those final four couples, but mostly it's focused on the four couples.
Yeah. Leslie and Dean are still together.
So cute.
He gets down on one knee and offers her a key to his home. Mm. Leslie is a travel blogger, so she just like lives out of a suitcase. And
now she has a home base.
Yeah.
So nice. I thought it was extremely sweet. I was really glad that they didn't push them to get engaged, because it's clear that they're not there yet, but they are really into each other and they've been traveling around together. They're currently with Ben Higgins at his generous coffee thing in South America. Yeah.
Oh,
the three of them are all there right now. I like it. I'm into them.
Yeah.
Guys, you learn so much on Instagram stories.
Yeah,
just do your research.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Kevin and Ashley are, like, hanging out a bunch. He's staying with her in L.A. He's moving to L.A., it seems like.
She looked so happy.
They both looked really happy. Yeah. I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
And Kevin is just very confusing to me. I guess it's the Canadian thing, because he looks like your typical guy that they would have brought on The Bachelor years ago, who's like the hunky dude who's quite empty and possibly a jerk, and instead he's like has this Canadian sweetness.
In Canada, you can't be a jerk just because you're a hot athlete.
Right. They don't like you.
They're not okay with that.
Yeah,
he seems very sweet, and I'm happy for like all the couples who are still
too.
Together. We saw Courtney and Lily. They road tripped across the country in an RV.
So
the cutest.
We saw clips of video they took, and I love them.
Into this relationship fully. I want to know everything about them. I want to hang out with them. I'm so into it.
They're like a commercial for Levi's. Like I was like, this is, I would buy whatever product they're selling. This is how people become influencers, and I'm sorry.
And they're living in LA now.
Yeah. They were just like, we're just staying here. Cool. And then we hear from
Stassi. I loved Stassi in this segment.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
When she was like, what a wonderful day. I was like, oh, my God.
So apparently Luke essentially fucking ghosted her.
Yeah.
After.
He's the worst.
Proclaiming that he's never felt anything like this. Maybe DM'd her on Instagram once. Never asked for her number. And, like, they're all on a group text. So how did you not get her number?
Yeah. It's baffling.
It's poor form. Also, you know that you're going to go on TV and be questioned about it.
Maybe that was it. Maybe he was too busy shaping that epic look he unveiled last night, too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I couldn't even
keep
look
making
at him.
That sound, but I just feel that way about him. Ugh. Ugh.
And he comes out, and honestly, we haven't seen Stassi in this mode all season. She was sort of like, oh, Luke likes me, and, like, we both have heart problems and we're deeply bonded and that's nice. Like, who knows what could happen? And then we, for the first time, saw her in like hardened, like prosecutorial,
it was wonderful,
snarky mode. And she really delivered. It's amazing too to see how the sarcasm can come through even through like that language barrier.
And apparently Stassi speaks five languages.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. She's from Belarus. She lives in Sweden. Like, she's clearly very cosmopolitan. She was incredible. And Luke really prepared a defense.
He has no answers to anything.
No.
He just said, you know, I thought things were just coming to an end. And sometimes you don't like someone and you say this thing. And she just looks at him and goes, was I unconscious when you said that?
Yeah. He also, like, I feel like he was, like, testifying that there were conversations happening when she was saying they had literally not spoken at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know what.
And it seems like he was saying they had conversations toward the end of the show that mm-hmm. it was not going to continue. And we saw those conversations, and that is not what was said.
No.
And she is also saying that is not what was said. Yeah. So I'm going to trust me and Stassi on that one and not Luke, who, like, he couldn't even come up with, like, I freaked out. Like, it's
couldn't
such a.
Couldn't come up with anything.
Did he even really apologize?
No.
He said, I'm sorry if you felt led on. I would never want people to think I was leading someone on.
And he also pulled this whole, like, I ghosted you so that you wouldn't feel led on, which is like, well, maybe you could have started that whole not leading people thing on earlier when you were telling her you'd never felt this way about anyone ever before.
Yeah. And also, even
and
if
would
you
she consider
made
moving
that
here?
Miscalculation, then just reach out to her and say, hey, I had a really good time, but now that I'm back in my normal life, I just don't yeah. see a way for this to work. And you know what? That could have been spun. People would have understood. They live in different yeah. countries. Mm-hmm. He didn't want her to move for him when he wasn't feeling it. That's all right. reasonable. And yet, he did the one thing that will make you come off as the biggest asshole. And honestly, not just come off, makes you a huge fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And to ghost someone, I hate it.
It's amazing. I love that they cut this in. They call cut. They're going to, like, commercial
hot
break.
Mics.
And they keep the camera on him and Stassi. And she's very emotional at this point. She's crying. And is saying, like, I just don't understand what happened. Yeah. I don't understand why
she's
you behaved this
you
way
you won't
to
even
me.
Look at me right now. You're not looking
and he
me
won't.
In the eye.
His eyes
he
are
won't.
Wandering everywhere. He's not responding, actually, to anything
no,
she's
he just
saying.
Says, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's literally a direct, it's a perfect direct comparison between him on camera and off camera. Because literally, during the show, 90% of his conversations are like, hey, look at me. Hey. Look at me. And now she's like, hello. I'm yeah. next to you on a couch trying to figure out what happened to my life. And
he
he's just
didn't
like
even want to engage with
looking
her at
up
all.
In the right hand corner. It was very strange.
It was such a dismissal of her as a human being yes. sitting next to him. And that is what bothered me so much. And I think really speaks to his character.
Absolutely.
If you do not have the respect for someone, you don't have to want to be with them. Mm-hmm. You have to respect them as a human being.
Yeah.
You had a relationship with this person. Look them in the eye. Have a conversation. If you hurt someone, except that you hurt someone. I have no respect for Luke. I never want to see him on my television again. I feel very passionately about this.
I'm kind of thinking maybe you won't, or that you'll only see him now, like, clearly positioned as a villain if they bring him back. Because
yeah.
it's kind of like Rehab Tour burn notice
this
once you
like
leave that
real
hot mic thing.
Heel
in.
Turn. Because we haven't seen him be a heel on a show. We've heard the rumors.
We've had our suspicions. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've drawn our own, but like,
but
yeah.
if you only paid attention to the show on screen, he would still seem like this, you know, stand-up veteran mm-hmm. who really like fell in love for the first time with JoJo and then was heartbroken. And then to see that must be so jarring because he really is acting like Stassi is like a puppy or something.
Yeah. Also, guys, he, has not posted anything on social media about the show, and he turned off the ability to comment on his Instagrams.
Oh,
can't
man.
Take the heat.
No.
I hope he's losing a ton of followers.
He's not really, which is so annoying.
Of course, yeah. Well,
I'm not buying fit tea with his code.
Well, I certainly don't
sure.
follow him.
If I want a laxative tea, I'm going to Ashley I. And that's my final word on the matter. And it's amazing, too, when they finally do, like, finish that conversation and Stassi kind of walks away. You hear, I think it's Dean being like, well, that really blew up in his face.
Oh,
I've never seen
that.
Someone defend
yeah.
himself so,
so
bad.
Poorly.
Which is amazing coming from Dean, whose own, like, women tell all experience
is
on
not...
Paradise was a
yeah,
disaster.
But Dean owned, at least Dean has owned his shit.
Yeah. It wasn't a good look for him.
It was a very bad look for him.
He'll engage people on it.
Right.
Yeah. And he's always sort of like coming from a place of like, yeah, I just was so like he does yeah. in his own way.
And that's the thing. If Luke were like, I don't know, I came onto this thinking we would have fun on camera and like we'd see where it went. But that didn't necessarily mean that
yeah.
we were going to be able to make it work. People, I think, would eventually forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just seems so much more like he doesn't even understand that people might have feelings.
Yes.
Right.
Which is scary.
It's yeah. terrifying. And I also really loved that Clara made an impassioned defense of Stassi
yeah.
before Luke even came out. That was nice to see. A little a little sisterhood, yeah, solidarity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And speaking of Claire, Claire gets the final hot seat. And
I love it. Reveals. I just keep saying that. Guys, I'm so giddy about this show. I don't even recognize myself.
Claire, it turns out, has fallen in love since the show with someone who is present. She's like, someone reached out to me afterward the show, and it was just a man who just cared about whether I was okay, and that was so meaningful to me. And Chris Harrison is like, who is it? They do a little who's going to stand up.
They waited so long.
Ben Higgins did a little cross of the leg. Yeah.
Oh, he's always game. Yeah.
I know. Like, I saw Jordan do a little, like,
yeah,
pop up in his seat.
Man.
It's Benoit, which, like, is the person that you would think it would be based on her description of his behavior. And he comes up and is like, yeah, we've been talking, like, for hours every day.
We've seen each other. We kept it a secret. I was reading somewhere, and now I'm terrible. I should attribute it, but I don't remember where I read this morning, that they actually did keep it secret from almost all of the cast members.
Yeah, they all looked really shocked.
Yeah, Kevin knew. Yeah. Benoit had told Kevin, because they were obviously on the Bachelorette Canada together, mm-hmm. That he had started talking to Claire again. But I think it was Jordan was quoted somewhere as saying, like, yeah, I even watched their breakup episode with the two of them. And, like, Claire walked out of the room and it seemed really awkward. He's like, yes, they were just
so
faking it.
Really
they were
awkward.
Just faking it for all of us.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
I mean,
to quote Ari.
It was so
– this was that. Such a wonderful, genuine feeling moment.
Like, they say I love you to each other, and it's something that they got to say to each other off camera first. It feels very natural.
Yeah, he seems so genuine to me.
People were tweeting at us that apparently the Canadian audience loved him on Bachelorette.
Yeah, I remember Rose Buddies really liked him. And Kevin, I think, too, was popular. So
yes, the two of them are very popular.
But then Benoit makes Claire stand up and delivers this incredible heartfelt proposal in two languages.
Oh, I cried.
That was so cute.
I was so emotional. And she says yes, and they're engaged.
And they're engaged.
I'm happy for them.
It was really cute. And it was adorable how – did you notice that he was like, can I speak with you in the other room? Mm-hmm. But they just went like – it was really cute. And
they're
he's so earnest and – just kind seeming.
I think that he is really what Claire needed.
I think she displays some self-awareness too, compared to when she sort of made her debut on the scene.
Also, she has been put through the ringer on this show.
Yeah.
She was treated terribly by Juan Pablo.
Mm-hmm.
Terribly.
Yeah.
And then they made her a gag talking to various animals on Paradise twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she seems, like, well-liked by the other contestants, which
absolutely
always makes me think positively.
Mm-hmm.
But she and Leslie are very close, it seems. And it seems like the whole cast was so genuinely thrilled. All of their faces, it was such good reaction shots.
And, I mean, I have to think, this is the kind of thing you don't often see on The Bachelor shows, but does often happen in real life, is you break up with someone and then you get back together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I read, like, New York Times vows columns, and, like, almost all of them have broken up at some point. But there's something so, like, real feeling about it. And
he reached out. He had a genuine feeling of care about her. Mm-hmm. They started talking. Those feelings developed at a pace that Claire was maybe more comfortable with than when she was in that environment on camera, which is completely understandable.
And it's another thing, too, of, like, even Claire had a little bit of distraction on the show because I think her initial interest was Christian, and so she was kind of focused on getting his attention. And then once that was removed and they were just dating each other, which is how you would normally date people in mm-hmm. real life, she was able to, like, kind of ease into that relationship.
Yeah.
It's just – it's so romantic.
It was very sweet. And he had nothing to gain. Like, I feel that the ultimate chivalry – in Bachelor universe is, like, if you will show you care about someone when there are no cameras around, then that means a lot. Like, that right there just shows you that they're genuine.
And I think she is. I mean, she's extremely beautiful. She seems
like, has always come off as a little crazy on the show, but I think came off really well in this season. You get to see some other qualities from her. She was really empathetic with Benoit when they broke up. Like, mm-hmm. This never would have been able to happen if they didn't have such a great breakup.
And like, apparently she said to him on their way out, you know, I don't think this is necessarily the end of us.
Like, she thinks, like, she thought there was more for
more them. More mm-hmm. for us.
Yeah. I just loved it. And I'm really happy to see older women getting their due on this show. She's 36.
It's so refreshing. And she has such a strong sense of self. She knows what she wants from a partner. And she's able to articulate it. We always see people saying these really vague things. And she is able to say, these are the things I want. This is what happened that fulfilled the things that I knew I wanted. And I know there are challenges, but we make it work between us.
Mm-hmm. I thought, and yeah, it's not what I would want necessarily. Like, whenever she talks about what she wants, I'm sort of like,
And she's like, oh, yeah. No, we don't necessarily share all the same desires.
I've always wanted a man who will prove to me that he loves me.
I've never spoken about people I've dated as a man. I need a man.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, the language I would use.
It's not a word that usually applies to the kind of guys I've dated. Like, I would look at them and be like, you're a boy, or like, you're a guy. Like, man is not really the word that jumps to mind.
No, I'm happy to. It's nice to see, like, a woman over 30.
Yeah. And Leslie is also older.
Yeah. And you can, I mean, like, not that they're old by any means at all, but like, they have some life experience. I think you can feel the difference when you stack it up against some of the conversations on Ari's season. It's
exactly
a really clear distinction.
Yeah, look, we get to know ourselves better as we have more life experiences. That's not a condescending thing to say, and it doesn't discount what you might feel or the fact that you might find a partner early in life that might fulfill those things that you want. But there is something that if you've spent significant time on your own, you've had life experiences, it makes for kind of more interesting conversations often.
Totally. I mean, I disagree. I was 24 when I met Greg, and we had amazing conversations. But, you know,
well, I think
your mileage
too,
may vary.
I mean, on television.
I mean, also, I think that it's just nice to see a variety. Like, we've been seeing so many, like, 24-year-old women falling in love with, like, 32-year-old men. And that's not how every relationship is. Sometimes the woman is older. Sometimes the woman is 40.
Right.
Like, why can't we see more different dynamics in relationships? I think that always is going to make things
interesting. We had a lot of inverted on traditional gender roles in a lot of these relationships, which I really enjoyed. You know, we saw women initiating breakups, which we don't see often.
Men asking for more commitment.
Right. Men asking for commitment. You know, both parties expressing equal amounts of emotion. It was It was great.
I think all of it just goes to show how invigorating it is for the franchise to have, like, a power balance in a format. Like, it wasn't that anyone had the rose. It wasn't men competing for a woman or women competing for a man. Nobody had to pitch themselves. Like, I did not miss the pitching. The pitching wears on me so much in the traditional formats when you watch people for 5 minutes and they're like, they don't even take a breath. They've got to get their whole life story out. And what they want and what they like. And it's like, it just gets exhausting after a while.
And it must be very exhausting to be in that situation as well.
Yeah, so much pressure.
And that's something that Sean talked about in Amy Kaufman's book also, that, like, then you end up with this person who has just been pitching and pitching and pitching herself to you. And you have to suddenly be like, I have to start making a huge amount more effort in this relationship if it's ever going to be equal.
Yeah.
And most couples, it seems like, do not do that successfully after the show ends. But they don't have to do that on Winter Games. I think they're all going to get married. Oh. I feel great about it. I just love all
of
them.
We are fully bought in. And I will say that I was startled by my own enthusiasm because I've been feeling so exhausted watching The Bachelor. And this felt I was having fun again watching the show. And
totally.
I didn't feel, like, dirty and compromised the whole time.
Yeah.
I did feel frustrated because figure skating was on, and I really wanted to watch it. But you know what?
You make sacrifices.
They made its decision.
For the one you love. For commitment.
Commitment.
It was a lot. It was a big commitment.
Yeah. I love that.
Do we have any final thoughts on Winter Games that we haven't already expressed?
I just hope it comes back. I really liked it. I don't know what they're going to do about the competition aspect if they bring it back, because the competitions were sort of unmitigated disasters.
But I think that they needed them in order to add an element of structure to the show that is otherwise lacking.
I enjoyed it, and I liked that they didn't lean in too hard to the competitiveness of it. But it did break it up. It added an element that was fun to watch and didn't feel as pressured.
It's a nice contrast to, like, Paradise. The only competition is to make sure that you have a date, which is partly what makes that all feel so artificial and strained. And then they just, like, separated it. And they were like, we're going to have a competition over here. And then you guys just hang out and see if you're in love.
Yeah.
It was nice. And I kind of enjoyed the competition.
Me too.
I just think they need to find a way to, like, help there be more of a variety of winners. Like, I don't know how they're going to do it, but...
Well, I think if they don't peg it so directly to the Olympics, you could have different kind of competition.
They could go, like, full Are You the One. Do you guys ever watch Are You the One?
Yes.
I did a little.
The challenges they have are always like, and here we have a vertical puzzle and a hot dog that you will extend between, and you will each hold one side of the hot dog between your teeth. Working together, you will move the hot dog through the puzzle. This is a real one that I'm not making up. These challenges, MTV's got that figured out.
Yeah, they bring these people from who knows where, and, like, somehow they're all, like, mega athletes by the time they go from Are You the One to, like, the top of the challenge. Like, they figure it out. So there's got to be a way. Yeah, but they should do more brain teasers. Like, you know how they make them spell and stuff on the challenge and, like, then drop them over a waterfall?
I don't watch the challenge.
Oh, okay.
I don't either.
Cheese stands alone. You guys are busy. I understand.
We only watch dating shows. And that's our problem. No, I mean, I think that the thing that gets me about the Are You the One challenges is that the rules are incomprehensible. And I never have any idea what's happening. And so that's like the one.
I appreciated the simplicity of these challenges.
The simplicity of this was good.
Yes.
But it was too easy for the literal ski instructors to win the challenges.
Yes. Which I feel they had to see coming.
I have faith that they can come up with some creative solution to that. And if that's our biggest critique, then The Bachelor production did a really good job on this.
So,
now we just have another few episodes of Ari season, and then we get a whole month break.
Yeah, I do think if they do this again, I want them to put The Bachelor on a break. I cannot watch 7 hours
or at least not run it
week.
2 episodes a week. I mean, that's way too much.
I literally couldn't bring myself to get out of bed this morning. I was so tired. And I just couldn't
Claire
face the
is
day.
Depleted.
I'm depleted. The amount of wine I've drunk this week, like, it's disgusting. So please, please don't do this to me again.
Yeah.
And we're going to be back in Bachelor Nation on Sunday night with Women Tell All.
Oh, my gosh. Stay hydrated.
Oh, God, I know. I'm just going to chug water and eat.
And if any of the contestants from this show would like to come on the Here to Make Friends podcast, we're here.
Yeah. Slide into our DMs.
Slide into our DMs.
Probably not, Luke.
Yeah, unless
Except
you're Luke.
You're not invited.
I'm not sure that
I have
you're
this feeling. I have this feeling Luke doesn't listen to our podcast.
And if he did, I don't know that he'd enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing Luke anytime soon.
On that note.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys. This is so fun.
Come back again sometime.
I would love to.
Before we go, if you're going to be at South by Southwest and you have a badge, come hang out with us. We will be doing a live podcast panel on Saturday, March 10th at 5 p.m. If you can't be there, there will be a live stream on TuneIn, so you might want to join us that way. And we are looking into whether other tickets will be available for purchase. We don't have that information, but we have heard some queries and we're looking into it, so stay tuned.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Megan Angelo, and of course, our fearless producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts to subscribe and give us a rating so you don't miss any of our upcoming content. Winter Games might be over, but there's still a lot of Bachelor. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please like us there. You can also find us both individually on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com. Thanks. Also, pre-order my book.
Yes.
It's coming out on Tuesday, A Girl's Guide to Joining the Resistance. I swear I will stop doing this after it comes out next week, but sorry, got to put in that plug.
Emma Gray, coming soon to a bookshelf near you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week with Women Tell All and Fantasy Suite Dates. And also to remind you that Emma's book is coming out on Tuesday. big day. So thanks for joining us.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.